Okay, well, good afternoon, everybody. This is the show with the coolest intro that you could about imagine. I've seen some of y'all's intros out there, and I've been to some other shows and live streams and stuff. You guys can't beat that intro. That has got to be the best intro. And we thank Connie, our sister Connie, for preparing that for us. All right, so welcome to the Crossing the Crescent Discussion Group. We are here every Sunday at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time and every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, coming to you live from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, home of them loathsome Hawkeyes. Now, I told everybody last week, because the Iowa, our team, the Hawkeyes, every single year starts off strong. Last week, they played Penn State. Penn State was ranked number 5 in the nation. Iowa was ranked number 4. And what does Iowa do? They pull off a victory in the last quarter, catapulting them to the number 2 team in the nation as of Monday. And everybody in Iowa City, I mean, all the newspapers are like, we got the best team in the whole country. Da, da, da. And what happened yesterday? And I always tell everybody this every year. I said, give them a chance. They're going to let you down. Just give them some time. And what do? The very next week, they play an unranked 3-2. Purdue was 3-2 team. And they get trounced here in Iowa City, here in Iowa. The level of disappointment in this state today is palpable. I can just tell you that and the thing is that happens every year. So I'll just let you know where my frame of mind is. My Hawkeyes let me down once again. But, you know, you would expect this after following and cheering for them for 40 years of your miserable life. Okay, so today, sorry to be Debbie Downer right from the get-go, but I just had to get it off my chest. How disappointed I am.
Do you feel better now, Eric?
I do. In a way, it's just like my therapy on Sunday afternoons. Yes, sir.
Hey, Eric, can I take the stage here for a second before you introduce the topic?
No. Of course, yes. Go.
Excellent. So there's been a little bit of controversy going around lately. There was a live stream yesterday, and a lot of people believe that there was a person that was called the Lal El that called into Christian Prince's show, and they believe that this man was Uthman ibn Farouk, which I call Ibn Ibn.
Oh, hold on. Okay, Ibn Farouk is that guy from L.A. that David went down. What's it called?
Bubba's Park. Yes.
Okay, all right. Just want to make sure. Okay, we have the same guy. All right, just want to make sure.
ABC English. Hello, sir, and how are you today?
I'm good, sir. Thanks for asking.
Excellent. So, ABC English, what were you doing yesterday?
I was in a debate with Christian Prince, and he thought I was Ibn Farouk, and then he told everybody that I was Ibn Farouk, but I was not Ibn Farouk.
So this ABC English right here, this gentleman here, you are Bilal El, the man that was actually speaking with Christian
Prince yesterday. That's
correct, sir.
What
is your actual name, sir?
Bilal El?
That's what you go by, or is that what your name is?
That is what I go by, and that is what my name is.
I'm cool if that's whatever you want to go by and whatever else. So I just want to let everybody else out there know, because it is confusing. You do
Connie
sound a bit like Ibn Farouk. You would have to agree, wouldn't you?
No, I did. I just wanted to, first of all, I didn't even know who Ibn Farouk was. I am Muslim, but I didn't know who he was. And then Connie sent me some videos on Skype of who he was. And then I kind of seen how there was the mistake happened. You know what I mean? I seen where the mistake is. Because I kind of talked like him a little bit. I don't know. I throw a few words out there that sound like him. But I am not him. And I showed Connie. I came on video. And Christian Prince, he needs to, you know, check his facts before he says people are...
And it's not just that he needs to check his facts. Like, you just admitted it yourself that, you can see somebody coming to the conclusion.
Yeah, but don't make a whole,
Hey, ABC, ABC.
Yeah.
You're on a Christian show. I'm not going to let you talk smack about my Christian brothers. All right?
I didn't say anything.
Rob Christian is not CP's son. So quit talking, I'll smack about my Christian brothers.
No, it is his son, 100%. If you knew
Arabic, so ABC.
And you know how they speak. You got to know Arabic, though.
ABC.
You understand who they are.
ABC.
You don't know Arabic.
Well, let's don't lose ABC before we get going.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but don't do that.
Chris,
you're
going to
be hostile, Chris.
I'm going to be hostile,
Chris. So you just be quiet.
All right. No. Okay. Stop. Both of you, just stop. Just stop. We're trying to be nicer. All right. Dominic Shields is in chat. Dominic, do you have the link? I thought I sent you the link. Let me know if you don't. I'll send it to you. I always like Dominic coming on here. He always has this great attitude. Okay, so today, we're going to be talking about whether or not the Bible teaches Jesus is the Son of God. That is today's topic. So what I did yesterday, of course, me being the teacher in me coming out, I prepared a slideshow. And in this slideshow, I've prepared several and I get it, Chris. I absolutely understand. We're not going to allow that to happen. We're going to stay on topic. So the topic is, does the New Testament teach if Jesus is the Son of God? Every Christian believes that this is true. I mean, if you don't believe that Jesus is the Son, let's put it this way. If you do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then you cannot call yourself a Christian. Because by definition, a Christian is somebody who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, somebody that has died for our sins on a cross in first century Jerusalem and rose again on the third day. And as a result, he's conquered death, thus giving us eternal life and providing us that perfect sacrifice for our sins that God has demanded since, I don't know, the Garden of Eden. Okay, so one of the most often, Dominic, do you have the link or not, brother? Let me jump over here. Dominic. Okay, Dominic, there it is. Paste. Shabinga. There you go, brother. Okay, so let's take a look and see what the Bible teaches about Jesus being the Son of God. Okay, so I believe after looking at reviewing the New Testament, studying it extensively like I have throughout my life, that Jesus believed that he was the Son of God. Those people closest to Jesus believed that he was the Son of God. Those people who interacted with Jesus thought he was the Son of God, and God thought he was the Son of God. So let's talk about what the Bible teaches as far as those who knew Jesus. So when we think of people who knew Jesus, we're going to be thinking, of course, John the Baptist and the apostles. So what did John the Baptist have to say? If we look in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, and I have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of God. So John the Baptist is saying that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And we go to the Gospel of Mark. If you look at the Gospel of Mark, anybody that knows their biblical history and how the Bible was constructed and the Gospels were constructed, we know that Peter, according to the earliest church fathers, to include Ignatius and Polycarp and Clement of Rome, admit that Peter gave the gospel, his understanding, his relationship with Jesus and his experience with Jesus to John Mark, who was a disciple of Peter. And the very beginning of the gospel begins, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who? The Son of God. Then we look at some of the disciples. Peter in Matthew 16:16 says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, if you remember just a little bit further into that verse there, that chapter, Jesus says that he is going to be crucified. He's going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to be turned over to the Gentiles, and he's going to be crucified. And Peter says, "No, far be it, Lord. I will never allow that to happen to you. And what does Jesus say? He turns around and tells Peter, he says, "Get behind me, Satan. Your eyes are not on the things of God." So that's the same passage right there. Then Nathanael, another disciple, says, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Then we get to Thomas, doubting Thomas. You know, doubting Thomas, the one that says that I'm not going to believe unless my eyes see and my hands touch. Well, then Jesus shows up after the resurrection. He says, "You are my Lord and my God." Then you get to Martha, who is the friend of, yes, hello. Kurios, yes, that exactly. Thank you, Dominic, for that. Exactly right. Kurios being God. And then Martha, the sister.
That's the Greek, like I was telling you. You want to study the Greek.
Okay. And then Martha said to him, "Less, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." And then we have outside the gospel. Here's Peter again in 2 Peter from Simon Peter, a slave of the apostle Jesus Christ, to those who through righteousness of our God and Savior, who? Our God and Savior, who? Jesus Christ. Epigrated faith. So we have a pattern here. I don't know. I see it. I don't know if any other people see it. Then we get to the Jews that lived with Jesus, because Jesus was himself a Jew. And you look at John 19:7. The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die." Why? Because he has made himself what? The Son of God. So even the Jews are saying that Jesus is at least admitting that he's the Son of God. Then in Matthew, this is again the Jews saying, "He trusts in God, let him," this is when he is on the cross, "You trust in God, let him," what does it say here? Oops, there we go. "Let him deliver him, let God deliver him now if he desires, for he said," what did Jesus say? I am the Son of God. Oh boy, okay, the pattern's growing here. I don't know, the evidence is mounting. What about the Roman centurion? Uh-oh, the one that was there at the foot of the cross. When the centurion and those who were with him kept keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what had took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Demons, even demons recognize this fact. And behold, they cried out, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God, have you come here to..." Uh-oh, even the demons are saying it, Luke. "And the demons also came out of many crying, 'You are the Son of God.'" And then you go to Mark, "And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, 'What? You are a Son of God.'" No, the definitive article. Yes, thank you. Uh-oh, even God, "And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" Not, this is my beloved nephew, this is my beloved son. Even the mother of Jesus in Luke chapter 1:35, "And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God.'"
Well, that title needs to be fixed. That was Gabriel. I probably read it wrong.
What did I say?
The mother of Jesus.
The Holy Spirit.
It means to be Gabriel said to the mother of Jesus.
Oh, all right. The angel answered her. All right, send me a message to have me say. No, I'm serious. I don't want, because if I use this again, I don't want to have somebody else calling me out. All right. But who gave the information to Luke? Mary, I would say Mary did. So yeah, the mother of Jesus. Okay, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to fix it anyway. I'm going to say Mary said when Gabriel told her. Remind me to fix this, Connie.
Well, I would just rather be biblical and say that the angel answered her.
Okay.
I'd rather just stay biblical.
All right.
But anyway,
send me a message. No, yeah. Make sure I do that. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was going to.
What did Jesus say? I mean, this is kind of the main character of the New Testament. We would want to, you know, we would want to be while being questioned by Caiaphas, what did Jesus say? So they all said, "Are you the Son of God?" And he said to them, "You say that I am. And what?" And then they turned around and said, "What further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth." His own mouth saying what? He's blaspheming because he's claiming to be the Son of God. Jesus, John 10:36, "Do you say of whom the Father consecrated and said into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God?" Revelation. Revelation. Jesus says in Revelation, "I am the Alpha Omega." What is the Alpha Omega? That is a title for God. That's even a title for God in the Quran, and we also find it in the Old Testament. And then 8:58, this is the slam dunk evidence for this. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am," meaning Yahweh. Yes, ego eimi, yes. And if you have any doubt, if there's any doubt to what Jesus was saying here, you go to John chapter 8, verse 59, because in John, is John 8:59, the Jews all stood up and started praising Jesus and calling him the Messiah, the Son of, no, that's not what happened. They picked up rocks to stone him for blasphemy. So they understood it. Why can't people today understand it? It's because they are.
The thing is, you also use the word Christos, which is the same word as the Greek word Hamashiach, which is the word Messiah.
Right.
Which has a whole lot of implications from the Old Testament, like when it says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God."
Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father.
Everlasting Father. So you have the aspect of the word Christos and the word Messiah coming through that.
From the Hebrew scriptures.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. You hear that, Bilal? So we have the Greek and we have the Hebrew scriptures, two testaments, two witnesses in a sense, testifying to all the world that Jesus is your Messiah who came to save you.
Okay, I got more to go though. Slow down, guys.
Yeah, buddy, let's go.
I got more. I got some more. All right, let's go back to this.
When you're done, Eric. Now
hold on a second. Wait a second. Hold on, Chris. Is this like one of these PSAs that we get from Rad, or is this a?
No, this one's a serious one.
Okay, because I've heard Rad's PSAs before.
If you want to, you can read Skype.
Okay. Well, I just want to make sure that
our brother Chris J from J Apologetics is the one that sent the video. It's only 28 seconds.
Okay. Let me see. It's in Skype, you said? Okay, got it. I got it. Yep, I got it. All right. Let me finish up the slideshow and then we'll get to it.
Okay.
Is that right? We good?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, and I also sent Adam. I see Adam's in the chat. I sent you a show link if you wanna join us today. Okay. So who can forgive sins? This is another question. What?
Eric, I have a question, Eric.
Is it a multiple choice question? True, false, what?
Not multiple choice. I wish it was. But it is a question where in Genesis, in the King James version, it says that God rested on the seventh day. What did he mean by rested on the seventh day?
We'll get to that. Because we're kind of in the middle of a completely different topic. We can get to that, though. That's cool. Is that okay?
Well,
all right, can we come back to that?
Yeah, we'll come back.
Because I'm on a roll, guys. Come on, every time I get on a roll,
let's
and this is so disappointing. It isn't too often I get on a roll, but I'm on a roll right now, so don't cut into my mojo. That's all right. Here we go. Okay. So, all right. So we went to John 8:50. Okay. Who can forgive sins? I can forgive sin. Only God for. Okay. So in Mark chapter 2, verse 10, but you that you may know that the Son of Man has power to on earth to forgive sins. Jesus forgave the man's sins. Who has authority over all humanity? God. So John 7, 1 and 2, Father, the time has come to glorify you, Son, so that your Son may glorify you, just as you have given him authority over some of humanity, so that he may give, that's not what it says, all of humanity. Let me take this down because this thing is cutting into my beautiful slideshow here. Just as you've given him authority over all humanity, so that he may give eternal life to everyone that you have given him. So here you have Jesus claiming to have authority over all humanity and the ability to give eternal life to all mankind who exists eternally. Well, the same passage in chapter 17. And now, Father, glorify me at your side with the glory I had with you before the world was created. So this shows the preexistence of the space-time continuum that we know today of Jesus existing. This is one of the arguments that was presented at the Council of Nicaea, by the way. Issa showed up today. Way to go. And who judges all of mankind? Well, let's take a look. I'll give you one guess. It's not Elmer Fudd, is it? No. We look here. It is, for not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son. So, who says Jesus is the Son of God? Well, in conclusion, let's take a look. The disciples did. Those around him did. The Jews claimed that he was the Son of God, or he at least Jesus was claiming that he was the Son of God. The Roman centurion said he was. Martha said he was. The demon said he was. And God said he was the Son of God. Everybody in the New Testament said that he was the Son of God. Now, who says that Bible does not teach Jesus was the Son of God? There you go. So who are you going to believe, folks? Are you going to believe those people who live contemporaneously with Jesus, or are you going to be convinced by a book written in the middle of the 7th century? All right.
Eric Smith, only Muhammad says he's my God, or do the Jews say... The Jews, how come the Jews don't believe he's God? Why did they kill him?
Yeah, and Jews don't believe that Muhammad was a prophet either, so I'm really not even concerned about the Jews.
So
Let me just answer that question why I put Muhammad up there, because I didn't put the Jews up there. And the reason why is because the Jews are not so aggressive towards Christianity and trying to cause doubt on what the Bible says or the New Testament. So it's basically a polemic. This show, and you know this. I mean, come on, let's be honest with you. This show is very polemical towards Islam.
Right.
So I guess there's a big difference.
So the Jews believed he was God, and then they killed
him. No, that's not what they said. He said the Jews believed, as I showed in the slideshow, that Jesus said that he was the Son of God. They believe that. The Muslims don't believe that Jesus ever said that. There's a big difference.
Hold on a second. The Jews killed the Son of God, but you guys hate Muslims more. They killed your Son of God.
Let me get this guy. ABC. The Jews didn't kill.
Hold on, hold on. Let's have a conversation. Let's have a conversation. No, no. You asked a question. Hold on. ABC, you asked a question and let us answer it. Okay. If you're gonna ask a question, you're gonna ask. But see, you're asking five or six questions at a time, and we're trying to answer them as fast as you go. All right, Chris, go ahead. We'll come right back to you. Go ahead.
Let's actually get the facts out there.
The Jews did not help the Romans?
The Jewish people are the ones.
Wasn't the question.
The Romans are the ones that actually condemned him to death.
Okay.
So if you don't know the facts, then maybe you want to read the facts.
Why
don't
the Jews
get a little bit knowledgeable on it before you look like,
All right, good.
In your question.
So Chris, the Jews were just watching? The Romans do that to Jesus?
Yes.
What do you mean, some of them, Chris? Don't beat around the bush. Were they watching?
No.
Yes or no?
How many Jews? What Jews are you talking about?
You know what Jews I'm talking about—the ones that believe that supposedly he was.
Okay, if you're talking about the Sanhedrin, the ones that actually had. Hold on. Let me answer. If you're talking about the. Good Lord, can we answer a question for Pete's sake? If you're talking about the Jews, the Sanhedrin, that actually put Christ on trial because they believed that he was blaspheming. Can I finish? Dude, come on now. Okay, they believe that he was Okay. So they believe that he was blaspheming. They turned him over to Pilate to have him crucified. So if you want to talk about the complicity of the Jews in this, the Jews at that time did turn him over to Pilate, over to the Romans to be crucified. Yes. So what's your point?
Okay, here's my point. Let me explain my point so without cutting me off. So you have them doing that to Jesus, and
who,
then you have Prophet Muhammad,
the Jews, okay.
That, then you have Prophet Muhammad saying that he was born to the Virgin Mary. He was an honorable man, and they actually recognize Jesus at least as a prophet. Well, they don't.
At least as a prophecy. That again is insulting. That's insulting to Christians, is what it is.
Chris, shut up, man.
No. Okay. Stop. All right. Let me just finish what my answer is. Let me just finish. Dude.
ABC, I'm going live on my channel at 6 o'clock. If you think that you're man enough, I'll go ahead and put the link into the chat. Let's see if you're more of a man than Aisha was. Alright? Show up on my channel at 6 o'clock and I'll ship you over to Mecca so that you can smooch the black stone.
Let's actually finish this discussion. So when Muslims come up and say, when Muslims like ABCs come up and say, well, at least we believe that Jesus was a prophet. We did not turn him over to be crucified. And this is true. This is true. But this is missing the forest through the trees. This is essentially saying that, well, we don't care what the Bible says or what every other historian in the world says, because Muhammad denies the very one thing that is taught in the New Testament that saves us from an eternity of separation from God, and that is his crucifixion. So you can sit there and say, give all of these lauds to Jesus. Oh, he was a miracle maker. He was virgin born. He lived a perfect life. He was indeed the Messiah. But that very one thing that saves your soul, that he was sent by God to do, Muhammad denies. And that is probably the most hateful thing that you could say about Jesus Christ, unless you can provide some sort of evidence that Jesus was never crucified. If you can, I would like to hear it.
Because the thing is also the fact, I mean, in some early manuscripts, you actually have the letters of Jesus has got, like, as Jesus written in gold, compared to, say, you have, it was Dan Wallace kind of saying that there's some of the early manuscripts you've got, but some in silver and some in gold. So whenever Jesus' name is mentioned, his name is mentioned in like gold lettering. But in some of the also in some of the early manuscripts, you have something called the Nomina Sacra, which means that you've got Jesus' name is kind of there's like a line in the actual Greek text that actually defines the actual deity of Christ, even in the actual Greek manuscripts. So you've got that. You've also got some of the early hymns in the actual New Testament that actually kind of say that are kind of early kind of sayings in the actual, such as like, what is it? But even like in the first century that they would have actually passed on. So there's so much evidence that Jesus is God, not only from the fact of that he is the actual Messiah, which most Muslims when they kind of bring up that concept don't realize how, like, if you go through most of the Old Testament passages, like what that concept actually entails.
Okay, I have ABC. If you're gonna, okay, you have to shut down whatever else you're doing because we're getting a. Okay, all right. So go ahead, ABC. I want to hear your response.
Response to what Dominic was saying?
No, but also a response to the crucifixion. Because if you're going to say that, you know, we Muslims, I hear this all the time. We Muslims respect Prophet Jesus. Well, by calling him a prophet only, you're denying his deity, you're denying his sonship, and you're denying the crucifixion.
Eric, thank you. That we believe after death, right? After death, Jesus will not come back. After death, he did not die, though. We don't believe that he died.
Why not? Why don't you believe that he died? All of his historians.
I'll explain to you why. All the historians, to be honest with you, I'm not a historian.
I am.
So I'm not gonna go there. But I'm gonna say this: that obviously, when you follow a religion and you find it to be you find it to make sense in a lot of ways, then you obviously continue to follow that religion. So when it talks about the story of Jesus, it's pretty much identical to the Christian version, except that he did not die in a crucifix.
No, it's not identical to the Christian version at all. No, Jesus is nothing more than an excuse for Muhammad.
I'm talking about being born to the Virgin Mary.
Okay. Under a palm tree, and he's speaking from the cradle. That's not the Jesus of the New Testament.
And that the angel Gabriel came to her, to Virgin Mary, to give her the glad tidings of Jesus. This is pretty similar to the Christian story, but it's not
because even Gabriel said that he will be the son of the Most High God. Gabriel, do you realize that, sir? That's what Eric's trying to say is they may speak of the story, but they're not telling the story.
Oh, that's a good way to peek. Hold on, say that again. Say that again, Connie. They might speak. Well, say that again, Connie. That was beautiful.
Like the Quran may speak of the story.
Of the story.
But they're not telling the story.
Okay.
Okay, so you have
not
two
stories. Telling the scriptures, honey.
Yeah, fair enough. We have 1.5 billion people that believe this story.
Well, you have 1.5 billion people that believe a lie, and the lie is that Jesus was never crucified. No, it's not possibly. This is his – hold on. This is the story – hold on, Con, just a second. Just a second.
Say with the New Testament, we know that we've got eyewitness accounts. So say with you.
Say eyewitness.
Dominic, hold up just a second. Hold on. Dominic, I want to hear. Stop. Guys, stop. Stop. I want to hear your excuse for why the Quran denies the crucifixion. Now, let's keep in mind here. Because this is what separates the two faiths, is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. If you want to cut right down to it, this is what separates it. So the Quran denies that this happened. So if the Quran is denying a historical fact, regardless of what else is in that book, because Muslims claim it's a perfect book, it's directly recited to Muhammad through Gabriel. Okay, fine. You can believe that. But if he is reciting something that we know is a historical inaccuracy, we know it isn't that we believe this, is that we know this, and we know it to the point where if you look at how history is done, if you look how history is done, I said this on last night on Chris's show, we were talking about how historical facts are established. If you have a historical document that comes out and says, okay, this event happened, and then you have another historical document citing the same event occurred, and a third one, that's impeachable. You cannot impeach that event. If you have, let me finish. As far as the crucifixion is concerned, you have over 12 different assertions to the crucifixion of Christ. That includes, okay, you have five separate ones in the New Testament. That's seven, but you have seven extra-biblical citations. Quran does. Now, let me finish. Hold on. Yes. Okay, then. Oh, it doesn't. Jesus Christ was not crucified? Hold on. Let him say. Adam, hold up. Let him say it. Connie, let him fit. Yeah, let's. Just let's. Okay. Okay. It's okay. It's all right. All right. Okay. Bilal, go.
Person that was crucified was a person who looked like Jesus. This is what it mentions in the Quran. I'm telling you what it says.
I know what the Quran says, dude. I know what it says. I absolutely know what it says. It denies the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That's what the Quran says. It said it did not. That very one thing that saves your soul.
And you said they wrote it down in 12 different documents or whatever. Is it possible that they could have wrote it down thinking that that guy that was on the crucifix was Jesus? Is God possible? Is he able to do that?
No.
That's my question for you.
No, it's not possible. It's not possible to happen. It's not possible. And here's why it's not possible. Because you had – hold on. Dominic, let me do this. Dominic, let me do this. Okay, so when we start, am I lagging or is Dominic lag?
No, you're good.
Okay, all right. So okay, it's okay. So when we talk about the crucifixion itself denies Dominic. Hold on, just a second. Dominic, hold on. The crucifixion itself is denied in the Quran. When we start establishing historical facts and we try to determine what happened in the past. You do not get – hold on. You do not get better as –
I'm so sorry. One second. I got to leave and come back in.
Huh?
I'm sorry. One second. I got to leave and come back in.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Guys, let me handle the crucifixion piece because I'm –
exactly. You were doing absolutely good. He landed on Chris because he knows him to destroy.
Well, Chris was – I didn't want Chris to get frustrated. I just want to make sure that we understand – Okay, so let's go back to what we were talking about. Bilal, let's go back to the Bilal. Guys, stop.
Please stop. Okay,
so let's go back to the crucifixion. That's it. Okay, stop. All right, let's not call names. Come on now. Okay, so
read them all to me. Can you read them all?
Yeah. Can you pull them up, Eric?
Can you pull them up and read them?
Eric's been
yeah.
Up.
Yeah.
Eric's been
I have the technology. I have the ability. Okay, stop.
Adam,
somebody else. Muhammad was a clown, everyone jumped on him, and he was a clown. So,
all right, so when we start talking about the crucifixion of Christ, we're going to go back to the crucifixion. Okay, DL, what are the passages again?
1933. He doesn't say anything about being raised up to God. The next is Surah 3:55. So Isa himself never said anything about him.
He didn't say anything about him not dying, exactly. Because he didn't die.
And then 3:55. When Allah said, O Isa,
which version are you reading? I have it on the screen, DL. Which version do you want? Okay, so behold, Allah said, O Jesus, I will take thee and raise thee to myself and clear thee of the falsehoods of those who blaspheme. I will make those follow thee superior to those who reject faith to the day of the resurrection. Then shall ye return unto me, and I will judge between you of the matters wherein ye dispute.
Okay, we have our brother Adam Seeker on here. Adam, is the word mutawafi used? In the first
comes
from the word
mouth,
which means death.
Right, so he says,
wow,
laws be to die, right?
Yeah, click on Matuva Fake. Click on Matuva Fake over there, up there.
What's the word?
Stop.
What's the word again? What's the word? Right there. All right.
Okay. Now, previous when this word is used for not about Jesus, it's dying. It's
dies, cause you to die, death.
Everything else that it is used, even I have a video in my channel, and Rob's channel, that his own scholars are going left, right, and center on this word. And they are trying to jumble up and being a clown, the same word that he used about his prophet. This is the reality of the situation here. So now, how did Isa die? Tell us.
He didn't die.
He didn't die, right?
Oh, what was the other verse? All right, let me bring it up. Hold on, give me a second here. I can only go so fast. I'm doing it. Give me a second.
The reason why I brought that up, ABC, is because Muslims are always saying, Isa said himself, X, Y, and Z. So, Isa himself never said anything.
So, in this verse, this verse is exactly what the Christian belief is. As-salam ala al-yawmul walad. Wa-yawmul... What?
Wa-yawmul amutu.
So if it is your narrative, it should be Yawmul Abasul Hayah should be in the middle and Yawmul Amut should be in the end, because he has to raise up, according to you guys first, he has to raise, come down to this earth again, and then he should die, not before. It is in reversal order. Number two, previous verse, it says,
no, I don't understand that.
Yeah, you
What don't you understand, Bilal?
Go back to that verse, please. The one that he says, Mutu, please.
All right. It'd be nice if you guys would do this in the order that I was scanning this in. What was this? Hold on. What was this? This was 19. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah, we
got to
go slow for Eric, okay?
Eric needs to have the slow because I'm slow. It's because I'm slower.
I meant because you're looking at all these words. So we got to go slow for you because you're working with the website.
Can you go back to the verse?
Here it is. It's right here. It's right here.
There it is. Do you see the screen?
Go to the whole verse. Yeah, go to the whole verse.
He has it up.
Okay, go back to the whole verse then.
All right, hold on. Give me a second.
We're going to do what you want to do, Bilal, okay? We're going to look at the whole verse.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go slow for him to see. See, he's having to work it. There he is.
Okay, hold on a second.
Yes, sir?
I'm going to read it in Arabic, and then we're going to read it in English, okay? Wassalamu ala yawma walidtu wa yawma amutu wa yawma abatu hayyan. So what does it say here? And peace is on to me the day I was born and the day that I will die and the day that I am raised alive. Raised is resurrection. Raised is resurrection. So he's going to, he was born, Jesus was born, Jesus is going to die, and Jesus is going to be raised again. Resurrection. Resurrection.
Excuse me. Hold on.
Read English again.
Which version do you want it read? It says, let's just go to Sahih International. Okay, let's say it on. Okay, I don't care about the Arabic. Nobody cares about the Arabic. Let's read what it says in English. This is an English-speaking show. This is an English-speaking show. Okay, I can read it. It says, and peace is on me the day that I was born and the day that I die. So when is peace on him? The day that he was born. And when is peace on him? It's going to be the day that he dies. Did he die?
And the day I am raised alive.
All right, let's go back to 517. Let's go to 517.
Peace be on me the day I will die, because he's alive at that time, according to Islam, right? So he has to say that. So the order is,
okay.
You're born, you die, you raise. You're born, you die, you raise. Even in Islam, it's showing you the order, Bilal, okay? It's the imams that are twisting it for you. You're seeing the order. You're born, you die, you raise.
I know, and the, Jesus is saying, Salamun, peace upon me, the day I was born, the day I will die, and the day I will be resurrected.
Because he's alive at that time, according to Islam.
He's alive now. Jesus,
but you
have
to say
what?
All right.
He's alive now.
Wow. You're not even.
All right, guys, let's just stop. Just stop for a second. Stop for a second. Can we stop? Just stop for a second. Stop. Just stop. Just for a second. Okay, so let's just cut to the chase. You know, we can I want you to cite for me one peer-reviewed article from a reputable theological journal that says that Jesus was not crucified. I mean, if this is in fact the way that scholarship is to be done, and we're to establish historical facts through scholarship, I would like you to establish the fact. That the Quran is not wrong when it says that Jesus was not crucified.
Right now I cannot pull up anything like that because I'm not ready for that.
Okay, but I can tell you ABC, there is nobody, even your most liberal scholars will say that it was Jesus. The most established fact about the life of Jesus Christ is the fact that he was crucified. Your Quran denies a historical fact. And if your Quran is supposed to be from God, how in the Hades can God miss something that is established, a well-established historical fact, as historical facts can be? How can he miss that? The Jews didn't miss it. Read the Talmud. The Jews are one of the sources that I cite that he was crucified.
And so why do they not follow him?
They don't follow him because they didn't believe it was the time. That is we are missing. You're trying to derail. I am asking you a historical fact. I am pointing right at your Quran. Your Quran says in 4:157 that he was not crucified. The rest of the world, your Jewish scholars, your Christian scholars, your conservative scholars, your atheistic scholars, all of them say they may not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They may not believe that he was resurrection, but they all say that he was crucified. Your Quran says it wasn't. Your Quran is wrong, sir. No, I don't think it's wrong. I know it is wrong, and so does the rest of the world. This is not a belief. You know, we have beliefs that, we believe that, the Chicago Bears are great, but everybody knows they suck. But the fact is that when we establish historical facts, this is how we do history. If you can't do history, you because you marry girls when they're in the fifth and sixth grade, and they have no opportunity. Yes, you do, and they have no. Okay, if you go into Islamic cultures today, as a matter of fact, when our soldiers showed up in Afghanistan, you show up in Afghanistan, the second grade girls, half of the girls that were second grade age were married. All of the girls that were third grade age were all of the girls were married. So when you saw talking about why is, you asked me a question, why is Islam the fastest growing religion? It's because you do not provide any type of economic opportunities for women, and the only thing that you turn them into is baby making machines. They have no choice, dude. They have no choice. No. No, they don't. Okay, so now the fastest growing religion establishes the fact that Christ was not crucified. Okay, I get it. That's fine. Stop, stop. I wasn't going to bring it up. No.
Because Muslims love to use Bart Ehrman.
Right.
This is from his website. And just to make sure that they don't think that I'm lying, this comes directly from his website. Who is this good-looking guy over here?
Not me.
Yeah, not me either, okay? Where's Jesus crucified? Right? Apparently somebody asked him. What do we have right here? The crucifixion of Jesus by the Romans is one of the most secure facts we have about his life. Now, this is a guy who's not really a friend of Christianity. This is a guy who tries to tear down the New Testament. Okay, and he's not the only atheist who says the same thing. So to say that we don't have any evidence... Well, you don't have any evidence that Jibril was in the cave with Muhammad, but yet you believe he does.
Actually, I visited the cave, I visited it. I can show you if you come down to... I can actually show you the grave of Prophet Muhammad.
No, I believe you visited the cave. That's fine. But he's talking about evidence here.
No, I'm going to show evidence. Evidence of the Kaaba, the black...
You don't have any evidence.
I can show you...
Hold on, folks. Let him. Hold on. I want to. You have evidence of what again? I didn't hear that, Dilla. I believe he's ahistorical, but that's just me. Go ahead. I was going to ask the same thing. Well, I mean, if we're going to establish.
Eric Smith, you know where your grandfather's grave is, Eric Smith? Your grandfather? You know where his grave is?
Absolutely. I watched when they put him in the ground. Sure, I know where it is.
Exactly. And those people that watched over the years, they passed it down to each other. Correct? You're probably going to pass it down to your grandson, and he's going to probably know where his grave is. So that's how it goes, Eric. It's not difficult to know someone's grave, Eric. Prophet Muhammad was a historic figure. None of you can deny that.
Early Islamic coins. So when you kind of compare stuff to say the New
New Testament article.
Someone said they have 30 graves of Adam. Okay, they have one grave of Muhammad. Show me the other grave of Muhammad.
Show me
the other grave of Muhammad.
The thing is,
let Dominic finish what he's saying.
When you're actually digging in the ground, scriptures, when you're actually digging, you don't actually have the actual evidence there. What we're dealing with is a matter of history. It's not a matter of, okay, it's a matter of truth, whether it's true or not.
Can I say that I do not deny the crucifixion? You guys got to stop saying that. I do not deny the crucifixion. I deny the crucifixion of Jesus. That's all.
Well, there's a bit, I mean, hold on, Dominic, just a second. That is the crux of the matter, though, is when we start talking, you know, even though I don't deny the crucifixion, but you're denying, I mean, I don't deny that, you know, thousands, you know, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of people were crucified in Jerusalem either. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the specific crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the one that is described in the Bible. Everybody in history that does history, that is uses the historical method, insists that this is the most asserted event from the life of Christ. The Quran, Muhammad, denies that.
Change the topic completely, but I'm going to say, why did Prophet Muhammad mention that Jesus will come back? What does he have to benefit from that?
Because the Gnostics believe it, so you got it from Gnostics.
Muhammad is long dead and gone. What does he have to benefit from telling people that Jesus will come back and he is the Messiah? What is the benefit of that?
Because it's a Gnostic book, Bilal. The Gnostics gave you this book.
Chris.
And they believe that, okay? But they were into esoteric, they were into mysticism and everything else, and that's what they handed down to you. That's why they...
so Abraham and Moses and all of that is Gnostic.
They have the stories, but they are not telling what happened.
Dominic, go ahead. Dominic, what was your question? Dominic is asking you a question, but I think Dominic is lagging. Can you hear us? Dominic is lagging.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. So let's make sure that we understand what facts. Okay, Dominic, go ahead.
So you have the Umayyads who kind of wrote, essentially most of the hadiths are written by the Abbasids. All the stories of Muhammad are written by the Abbasids. They're not written by the Umayyads. So they may even be later than that. So with some dating from Sikh scholars, they may actually be dated like 18th century.
Do you know how hadiths work in Islam?
I can tell you how the hadith work. You want to know how the hadith work?
Yeah, how do they work?
It's called hearsay, is what it is. That's all it is. That's all the hadith are, is hearsay. It's so-and-so, well, there's no science to it. It's nothing but hearsay. When we start looking at the classical definition of what hearsay evidence is, that it's not written down and compiled for 250 years after the death of the events, or after the death of Muhammad, and the events that it pretends to opine about, that's nothing but hearsay. To say something that is sahih, something is da'if, is just a shot in the dark. So when we start asking, can we believe the hadith because there's science behind it? Well, where do you get the science behind it? Well, you get it from the hadith, so it must be true. It's called circular reasoning also. Go ahead.
Dominic, let me finish what I'm saying. Eric, did you ever read the original Bible or Gospel? Did you ever read the original one? That's in, I think, the Abraham. What is the language in the
The Hebrew? Is that what you're in Hebrew? What are you talking
about? The Hebrew language or whatever it was in? Did you
no.
ever read that?
No.
No, you never did. So you never read the original?
No, because no, of course not. No.
So is it possible that you can have like you got lost in translation in the Bible? Is it possible or no?
It is possible. Sure. Absolutely. I would agree with that. Yeah.
Now the Quran came in Arabic to Prophet Muhammad, and it stayed in Arabic. So we can actually, we know the original source, or the original language at least. But you, as a Christian, have never read the original gospel, but you claim to believe something that possibly has the chance to be lost in translation. How can you follow something that there's a huge possibility that have been lost? And you know, English is like it's not one of the Abrahamic, the languages. The Aramaic languages. English is a fairly new language, you know?
Okay, hold on, I got this, guys. This is easy.
Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah, Eric's got it.
How do you know there's no fault? Go ahead, Eric, go ahead.
Okay, so let's start with... you're right, Neil. I'll agree with that. Okay, so how do I know that the Bible that we have is the Bible that existed in the first century? Is that what you're basically trying to pin my ears against the wall here?
How do you know there's no mistakes in the translation if you haven't read the original?
I don't. Well, see, you can't ever know if there's not any mistakes in the translation. This is why we have so many translations of the original Bible. When we start talking, okay, let's just take a look and see what we have here as far as the Bible that you are pointing your finger at and the gospel. Let's be more concise and point your finger at the gospel. We have over 5,600 different manuscripts of the New Testament, or copies of the New Testament. We have 2.5 million. Follow this: 2.5 million pages of manuscripts. Greek manuscript. This is just Greek. This is including the Syriac. This is include the Latin or any other language. This is just the Greek. Now, we can accurately translate that Greek into English. The way that people translate differs. It can differ. And also, when we start talking about where are there errors in the Bible? I don't believe that there's errors in the autographs. I believe that there are manuscript or copyist errors. Of course, there's going to be copyist errors. There's copyist errors all over the Quran also. That's indisputable. Anytime that you have man transcribing or copying something, they're going to make mistakes. That's just the way it is. They didn't have, you know, photocopy machines or computers back then. So when we start talking about the errors that you would say, the variance that we have between the manuscripts, none of them have any impact on any core Christian doctrine. On top of this, when we start talking about the chain of narration, now watch this and pay very close attention to this. The disciples, John, Peter, and the Apostle Paul, all were contemporaneous with jokers by the name of Clement of Rome, Ignatius, Polycarp, and Papias. All of them combined will tell you who wrote the Gospels and who control and what is in those Gospels. Then when you continue to look at what the early Antonicene Church Fathers wrote, we can compile the entire New Testament, with the exception of 11 verses that have nothing to do with the price of tea in China. So when you start talking about the ability to trust what is in the New Testament, as a Christian, we have no problem doing that because we have a chain of custody. We don't have a chain of narration. We have a chain of custody of the manuscripts. Your question.
Well, so you haven't read that's your answer, but you haven't read the Aramaic or the Hebrew. At least that's why I respect the Jews, because they have at least the Torah in Hebrew, and they can understand it in Hebrew. You Christians, everything is in English when you guys don't even have the original.
Well, why can't I believe something that's translated? Why can't I believe something that's translated into English? We can't trust something that's translated from one language into the other. We can't trust that.
Show me one Christian that has read the gospel in Hebrew and teaching it in Hebrew.
Why would we want to?
Because it's not written in Hebrew.
We want to do that. Okay.
Halal. Eric, you already have the answer. We have so many documents in the Greek.
In the Greek, that's not the Greek wasn't the Jesus' language.
It was the language, it was the lingua franca. It was the language in which all the documents were passed. When people would write documents from one culture to another, they would use Greek because it was the accepted language. To try to say, well, Jesus didn't speak Greek, he spoke Aramaic. Okay. Come on, dude. They knew how to translate things from Aramaic to Greek, because if you didn't understand Greek, that's what the Romans spoke, and if you didn't do what they told you to in Greek, they would kill you. So it's kind of important that you understood Greek also.
So you're going off faith, Eric, you're going off faith that it's 100% fact, that even in the English version it's 100% fact. That's what you're going off of?
Okay, this is what you would call a straw man argument. This is a straw man argument.
Okay, you
want
to go back to Greek? He hasn't even
hold on. Let's DL, go ahead. DL, go ahead.
I'm asking you.
So, my point is...
I have the Quran. It's in Arabic. I understand Arabic. You guys don't understand the original language of your Bible.
You're assuming that people are saying things that you haven't even heard any of us say.
No, he's
with what people are saying here, and we'll all go a lot further, and we'll bring you back on the show.
He asked me when I understand the Hebrew language. I told him I understand the Quran language, which is Arabic.
All right, guys. Stop. Okay, Radical Martyr. All right, Rad, you're going to go after, okay, DL, we're going to have DL, okay, stop. Okay, and then we'll have Rad step in. Rad, we'll let you in here in a second.
Mandarin Chinese.
Mm-hmm. 1.4.
I think English is second. Okay. There's less than 450 million people in the world that speak Arabic. Am I correct on that?
How many did you say?
I believe you're correct on that.
And then I think out of all of the Muslims in the world, 1.6 billion of you, only less than 15% have a knowledge of the Arabic language.
That is correct.
Okay, so let's just, from a practical standpoint, what is the point in pointing out the Arabic language?
Well, this is for argument's sake, none of you guys have actually read. We have people that have, we have many people.
No, I have, I told you. No, I have a working knowledge of the Hebrew language. I exegete passages all the time in Hebrew.
Well, you said it didn't come in Hebrew original anyways. It wasn't in Hebrew originally anyways, right?
Well, the Gospel of Matthew was originally written in Hebrew.
That's what they just said on the panel. They just mentioned, Dominic said it wasn't in Hebrew. It was in Aramaic, I believe. Right, Dominic?
No. Is it right?
So
what you have is papyri, you have lectures, you have unchildren, you have
codexes.
Dominic,
hold on, let DL go.
The actual papyri, the earliest New Testament manuscripts, they're written in Greek. So essentially, you can date them to the first, second, third century, which is roughly around the time
of ABC. What I'm saying is that appealing to the original language is very...
Yeah, amazing. Dominic, you keep lagging, brother. Okay, finish up, DL. Go ahead.
It's an elitist position. It's a default position that you default when you start losing it. I rarely appeal to the Hebrew language. The only time I appeal to the Hebrew language is when something is in English version, and it's crystal clear, and somebody acts like it says.
Hey, can I say something real quick? Because we have so many people watching right now. Remember to subscribe, like, share, and hit that bell. All right, go ahead, Deal. I remembered. Look at that.
Can we not let DL finish speaking, please?
DL, don't take 30 minutes. Go ahead.
No, what I'm saying is the last verse, we never got to it, which was Surah 5:117. You have Isa emphatically stating that Allah caused him to die.
Mm-hmm.
Then Allah became the watcher.
Okay.
Well, that's the wrong one, sorry.
As I said, you have Surah 4:157 is contradicted by Surah 19:33, where Isa is speaking himself, and Surah 3:55, where Allah is speaking, saying that he caused Isa to die. And then Surah 5:117, where you have Isa again speaking, saying that Allah caused him to die.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's also telling that within 300 years after the Quran was written, you never have any commentaries whatsoever on Surah 4:157. As a matter of fact, and I could be wrong, and maybe somebody can correct me, if it was a Christian named John of Damascus, who was the first one to mention the fact that the Quran stated that Jesus...
Well, John of Damascus lived a century, 750s, 760, 770s. That's when he lived.
Like I said, I stand corrected. So what I'm saying...
And the only reason why I know that is because I have Dan Janicek's book right here. That is John of Damascus. It's not because I'm an Einstein. It's a great book, too.
Is it in Hebrew?
It's actually in Greek, and this is what makes it so hard to understand because I don't speak Greek. I'm kidding.
What I'm saying, ABC, is you have a contradiction in your own book about Jesus dying by resurrection.
Okay, Rad, one run.
Claim, yes, the Quran that was given to us in Arabic, yes.
Okay, in Arabic. So you're not a Mu'tazila, I assume. You believe that the Quran is eternal, right? And that it's written down on eternal golden tablets, right? Always existed. It's always existed. Correct?
Yes, over a period of time.
Okay, correct. Okay. So you claim you have read the original Quran. So let me ask you this. Is the original Quran written down on the eternal tablets and has always existed in Arabic?
I do not know the answer to that.
You do not know that. So therefore, how can you claim that you read the original Quran? First of all, because you don't know.
The one given on Earth. The one given on Earth.
He's just talking about the one on Earth.
Okay. The one on Earth, not in the heaven.
That's fine. He's talking about the one on Earth. But again, you do not know that one on Earth.
Thank you, John.
Well, we know that historically that Muhammad spoke in Arabic, and that's what it was given to him.
Let me finish. You do not know, okay, if the original Quran, we're talking original Quran, okay, all right, that we're on Earth is the same as the original Quran in heaven, because, one, you don't know the language of the original Quran that is written on the internal tablets. And point
well,
number
I'm
two,
talking about the one on Earth. I'm talking about the one on Earth.
I'm getting to that. Point number two. If that language is anything different, okay, of the original Quran in the eternal tablets in heaven, if that language is any different than the original Arabic, as you claim, as the one on Earth, then how do you know that Muhammad got the translation right? How do you know how do you know that something was not lost in translation?
Oh, okay, perfect. Very good question. Well, we know that it was given from the angel Gabriel to Muhammad, but you, when we're dealing with you guys are talking about men who
no,
changed
just
it from
stay
that.
With
hold
Muhammad.
On, let's just stay
no,
with
just stay
Muhammad.
With Muhammad. Just answer that question. And we're
no,
listening.
No, I'm
just stay with
Connie,
Muhammad.
Connie, I'm answering him.
Okay, but don't go to the Christians. Just
no,
go
I have to go.
No, you don't. Just answer.
Let him answer the question. Let him answer the question.
Right. Answer for your religion, Bilal. And we're going to be money.
Okay, hold on a second. So whatever book was in the heavens that you were talking about, it was given directly to Muhammad in Arabic. Now, was it translated by a man to Muhammad? No, it was given by Gabriel to Muhammad. So whatever translation, it was the correct translation, if there was a translation like you claim there was.
But how, when do it comes, you know? To the, how do you know?
Because I just told you it's coming from an angel. It's not coming from a man.
Who translated it? Who translated it to the angel Gabriel? Huh? And how do you know that translation is accurate? Because you don't have not read it.
Yeah, do you understand what
you're saying? Let Rad interact here.
Point number two is, you don't know who translated from the perfect whatever speech of what Allah's speech to the angel Gabriel. You don't know who did that. Secondly, you have no comparison as to say, hey, he got it right here, he got it right here. And point number three is that you do have cases, okay, to suggest, okay, not just suggest, but I would say I agree with that, okay, where the shaitan came in and he gave Muhammad Quran. That wasn't Quran. Okay, so he corrupted the whole thing, and then later it was kind of called miracle, but it was called the satanic verses. But again, what I'm saying to you, what I'm pointing out to you, is that your argument against us is fallacious, as is to point out to straw man, because one, if we turn on you, you don't have the original Quran as written, revealed in the eternal tablets in heaven. You make the faith claim that you have this perfect copy, which, by the way, if we go by the textual manuscript, there's all kinds of errors, there's missing serves, our ayahs are misplaced, there's no real numbering system, but they're kind of out of place, there's scribal errors, there's all kinds of things. Not only that, as has been pointed out by others, you have 27 different versions of the Arabic Quran. Most of them have meanings that are kind of insignificant, but there are some serious deviations and differences. And my final point to you, as Sheikh Yasser Qadhi has pointed out, okay, shamefully to the shock of Muslims, if he was, because he's a reciter, he knows the Quran by heart, if he was to recite his Quran and it was to be written down, it would differ from all other Qurans that are out there and every other reciter as well. As he has pointed out, there are holes in the standard narrative of the Quran. So your argument on this is fallacious against us. Now, please, can we continue on with the other discussion? One more thing I want to point out. When Dhamma says the Bible's written...
Okay, somebody needs to mute yourself. Somebody's...
When Dhamma talks about the New Testament is written in Greek, okay, he is talking about the New Testament, not the entire Bible. When D.L., because he's Hebrew scholaristic, or, you know, he has a background in the Hebrew scripture, when he's talking about it in Hebrew, he is talking about the Old Testament. I'm just saying, you're more something like Anyway.
He is talking
about the Hebrew scripture, okay? With the exception of portions of Daniel that are in Aramaic it is written in Hebrew. So when you're coming at us, well, he says it's in Hebrew, he says it's Greek, what language? No, that's a fallacious argument. Again, stop with the fallacious argument, and let's get talking to what we have in the actual.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to let Bilal, I'm going to allow you to some time to respond, and then Chris wants to come up and ask you a question. So what's your response to that, Bilal?
I have no response to that.
Yep.
You can just bring Chris up.
Okay. I'll bring Chris up because I just want to, we'll end up me wanting to take Chris's time here. All right, Chris, come on up on mic, brother.
Yeah, I have a statement and then a question. So get this out of the way. I'm going to pop this up on the screen first just so everybody can see it while I'm speaking. So that everybody does know that the Old Testament, the New Testament, the three languages it was written in was Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Now, Jesus would have spoke all three of those languages. The reason being, he read from the scroll of Isaiah in the synagogue, in the temple, sorry. That scroll would have been written in Hebrew. He would have been able to read Hebrew, speak Hebrew. definitely would have been able to speak Aramaic. I don't think anybody would have argued with that. Alexander the Great took over that area 300 years before the birth of Jesus. Greek language was the normal language at that time. Jesus was speaking to the Roman soldiers and to everybody else as well. He would have been speaking to them in Greek because the Romans would not have spoken in a slave language. So therefore, we have confident evidence that Jesus would have spoken all three languages. So for somebody to say that the language that Jesus spoke was Aramaic is not learned and needs to read up on the subject to this matter. Now getting into the Quran, we have a certain person into the room that says that he has the same Quran since Muhammad's time. On the screen, now the diacritical marks are put in here just so that we can understand them. But understand that on the right side, the Sunnah lower text would not have had these diacritical marks that you see on the screen. Now, we have one verse, and it is changed. So my question to Bilal, which one, the standard text you read today, or the Sunnah lower text, which one is on the text in heaven? Which one is the text in heaven?
I do not know the text in heaven.
Which one is the original?
The Arabic
is original.
They're both in Arabic. Which one is the original?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would have to open the Quran right now and then bring it out, but it looks like the standard Quran text.
That's the original?
It looks like it.
So the Sanaa text, so the Sanaa lower text is corrupted then, is that what you're saying?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay, yeah, you didn't say it. So
Connie,
the Sanaa is ancient.
Connie, I got
it. Hold on.
Yeah.
So, what you're looking at right now in Arabic, between the standard Quran on the screen and the Sanaa lower text, are they identical?
I'm sorry, I need to put that. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Let me put it back up. I'm sorry.
Let me know when it's back up.
It's up.
Yeah,
right. So the text on the left is the standard Quranic text that you would have today. The right is the Sanaa lower text. Are they identical?
I have a Quran in my house. Let me just open it up. I have a Quran in my house. Hold on a second. So I can go to that surah, and then I'll tell you which one it's mentioned in the Quran.
Okay.
So he's going to open up the Quran and say, Quran I read today is the one that's the original, right?
Right, of course.
Right.
Well,
the ancient one,
we can see on the text, the Arabic is not the same from the lower Sanaa text to the standard Quranic text that we have today. And Bilal is too afraid to admit that right now.
Well, he's going to look at it, so let's see if he admits it.
Connie, you can see it on the
screen. I know, but we're waiting for his response so that he can go, whoa.
He's
going
to pick up one Quran.
I know. We all know this.
Quran you read today, and he'll have the left-handed verse.
Well, let me just point something out, too. When we look at the Sanaa manuscript, there's a couple things about
which
the Sanaa
manuscript. Which is
okay.
Ancient Quran.
Okay. It's the oldest Quran that we have for a couple of reasons. There's a couple of reasons here. The Sanaa text is a palimpsest.
I'm looking at it right now, Eric. Can you put it back up? I'm looking at it right now.
Okay.
Thank you. Can you zoom in a little bit?
Chris,
yeah,
you need to, Chris, go full screen. There you go.
I got it.
Perfect, Chris. Can you zoom in a little bit, Chris?
Okay. You can read it.
Yeah. Okay.
So you have the text on the left-hand side, right, Bilal?
Yep.
Excellent. Now that you've read the Quran, look at the screen.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Is the standard text that you read today the same as the Sanaa lower text?
No, it's not the same.
Okay, my next question.
Yeah.
Which one is the original?
The one on the left.
How can you tell?
How is the one on the left? That's
how
the one
can,
I have.
No,
that's
no,
the
sir.
One.
Just a second. How can you tell the one on the left is the original? Was my question.
Well, I do not know where you brought the right one from. It's not in the Quran.
It's from the Sanaa lower text. That's the Quran.
You say the Sanaa lower text. I don't know where you got that from.
Well, I can...
No, I do not. I do not.
You know, that's an ancient Quran.
Well, hold on a second. There's a reason why Chris is... Okay, hold on. I can explain it in two seconds. I can explain it in two... Okay, Chris. Well, of course we do. If you look at... If you look at the Sana manuscript, is a palimpsest. Now, if you know anything about ancient writing, Bilal, and please listen, dude. Even your scholars will say the same thing. Just listen.
And then you guys make these claims.
I'm not making a claim. I can take you straight to the website, Islamic Awareness. Islamic Awareness makes this claim. When you examine the Sana manuscript, it is a palimpsest. And at the time, writing material was very expensive. So what they did, if you have a palimpsest, what they do is they wipe off what the text is and then go ahead and write over it because it's a blank animal skin now. So what they've done is they've gone in and looked at the Sana manuscript under ultraviolet light, and they have seen what the original text says. And what Chris put up on the screen there, Chris, can you put that back up there for me?
Yeah, I will admit, but the thing is
the initial text is the lower text. It has been changed. This is the point that Chris is making. The first text is the lower text. You cannot have the first text below the other text, the one that you have right there. So the original...
Okay, fair enough. That's another claim by you, Eric Smith. No,
that's not a claim. That's Islamic awareness. This is your Islamic scholars say these things.
Muslims are saying this Sana Quran is an ancient Quran. Okay,
Bilal,
this is what you haven't
told.
Show
me one Muslim scholar today saying that. I would love to see that.
Okay,
all right. In private chat, I just sent you the URL, Bilal.
I'm trying to think here. Islamic Awareness, Sana Manuscript, C14 dates. Okay, got it. All right, what did you want up there, Chris?
Just put up my screen.
Well, let me find it first. I got 50 tabs here. Oh, hey, look at this guy.
Isn't this fun,
I know who this guy is.
This is fun, buddy. Do you know him,
Chavarali?
Who is
this guy?
Do you know Chavarali?
I see him on YouTube. I don't know him like that, but I've seen him on YouTube.
Okay, good. Tell him who it is.
I'll just go down. It's Dr. Shabir Ali.
So he's got a doctorate degree in Islam.
Does that make him a scholar?
He's got a doctorate degree.
He also has a bachelor's degree in biblical studies.
Holy crap. He has a doctorate. Does that make him a scholar? Well, I guess so.
I'll tell you what makes a scholar. Not with me. Where other scholars praise that person to be a scholar. This guy, Shabir Ali, I never even seen anyone from the Arabic. I'm talking, that guy, I think he lives in the UK, I believe. That guy ain't no scholar.
He lives in Canada. But he wasn't born in Canada.
You guys have to come to Saudi Arabia and come sit down with, like, proper people that speak Arabic properly, first of all, and that are scholars, that are actual scholars, and appointed by other scholars, not by someone that's on YouTube who's famous. Famous people
No,
are not.
We're not doing the famous. We're looking at scholarship. Because he is a doctorate. He's got a doctorate degree.
Just
give me one second here. You see what's going on here? Is that you're criticizing the Bible left and right. And as soon as we bring up one point towards the Quran being corrupted, now we have to bring a certain scholar that you accept. And this is ridiculous, and you're getting emotional.
Did I claim there was anybody that was a Christian scholar?
Therefore, you've seen the difference, so now you're getting emotional.
No, I'm not. I'm asking, did I ever bring a Christian scholar up?
You need to just deal with the facts, Bilal.
Chris or Tate, whoever's speaking, did I ever say that this guy is a Christian scholar? Never. made that claim because I haven't studied Christianity to know who's a Christian scholar. Well, you can name any Muslim on YouTube as a scholar because he has a GR in front of his name.
Scholar to tell you the Sana manuscript is real, right?
Yeah, a proper Muslim scholar, yes. Don't let someone from YouTube.
Just to tell you that the Sana manuscript is real.
Of course.
Well, we can get that for you. Eric, do you have that?
I just want to make sure that I'm getting. I just want to make sure that I've got this correct. You, as a Muslim, must you are asking a Christian to supply you with a Muslim scholar that will admit that the Sana manuscript is that it exists.
Yes, and the answer to that, you should say, I don't know who a Muslim scholar is because you don't know Islam.
He's going to get it for you. He's just trying to clarify what you want, right?
He's just wanting to clarify what you want,
and they're going to get it for you, okay? You said
that he's even asking this.
Look
what Eric's doing. Eric's chasing it, and probably Chris has the answer, too. He's just wanting to clarify what you're searching for. Okay, and then they're going to answer your question, Bilal.
Remember, these are nice people.
They don't hate you. We don't hate Muslims. Actually, my son is Muslim. Okay, my son is Muslim by kidnap. Okay, so we love Muslims.
I understand that, Connie, but the question should be,
Well, go ahead.
Bilal, who are your scholars?
I'm sorry, you broke up.
That's what the question should be. The rebuttal should be, okay, Bilal, who are your scholars?
Okay, then who are your scholars, Bilal? And we'll look into them and we'll see if they know what the Sana Quran is.
Okay, the Sana Quran is a palimpsest. Do you know what a palimpsest is, Bilal?
No, I don't.
Okay, a palimpsest is a manuscript, is an ancient manuscript that has writing that is intended for the reader. But there's also writing that was written on it before the writing that you're reading. What that means is that the initial writing was washed off. Material was used to write over the original writing. Do you understand what a palimpsest is?
Yes.
Okay. So what your argument is that the Sana Quran is not a palimpsest. Is that what your argument is?
Okay. Let me mention this to you. The Quran was revealed to Prophet Muhammad, and it was abrogated. There was verses that were taken out by God.
What did they write it on?
Sorry?
What did they write it on?
They memorized it.
So there was no writing of the Quran at any time?
Not in the beginning.
Okay, so when they started writing the Quran, what did they write it on?
They wrote it on whatever they had. I don't know exactly what they wrote it on.
What would have had?
Stones.
Yeah, he's just asking you.
Stones. Wood, whatever.
Maybe dry animal skin.
Possibly. Right. Possibly.
And it was.
That's what they were writing it on.
Mm-hmm. Connie says it was, like she was there watching it.
I'm going by Islamic sources.
Man,
they do say that. I'm agreeing with you.
It's not even just Islamic sources. It's common knowledge that it, historically speaking, this is how these documents are being written at that time because they don't have certain type of paper at that time.
Okay,
right? So it's historically proven, it's just common sense that that's what they do. Now, it's also common sense, matter of fact, that the Sana manuscript actually does exist. For somebody to actually need a Islamic scholar to say, yes, this manuscript exists, is completely ridiculous. Do you not see how ridiculous that is, Bilal?
No, I don't.
See, you couldn't just Google the Sana manuscript to see if it actually exists.
There's so many things online. I'm telling you. Is this Chris speaking, by the way? I don't know who I'm speaking to.
It's Chris.
You can see the circle on their face. See, look at my circle. See,
yeah,
so then when Chris talks, you can see the circle. circle around his face.
I'm sorry,
Rob. There's no circle. There's no circle.
Okay. Well, let him talk.
There's no circle when I'm not talking. And even when you're talking,
there's no circle.
Well, just stare at his face and you can see it. It does. He just talks really low.
He might be on the phone.
Is Chris the guy smirking there? Is he the one smirking in the bottom there?
Yeah, it is.
Chris, you got a smirk on your face. When you get your pictures taken, would you stop smirking?
No, because I think of how bad I meet Muslims in debate.
Okay, let's all right, so let's go back to the sauna. Let's go back to the sauna. Okay, now when we start talking about the sauna manuscript itself and we go to Islamic awareness, it does something else that I find just completely let's see here. Where did it go? I don't have it up here. Here it is. Sauna manuscript palimpsest, sauna. Here we are. They carbon dated it. Are you aware that they did carbon date the sauna manuscript, Bilal?
No, I'm not aware, and I'm not aware of the sauna manuscript at all.
Okay, well, after the show, you can do some research on it. What I do want to do,
problem.
And I'm sure you're going to. Let me see here. Let me share my screen.
Not right now, because we haven't even talked about it. So you're learning, okay?
Okay, sauna manuscript.
Okay, look at these, honey. These are ancient manuscripts of your Quran.
Here's what I want you to. Okay, here are the radiocarbon dating of the sauna manuscript. Look, different dating of different codexes. Okay, you have the name of the codex here on the left hand side. I can. Let me zoom in a little bit here. Yeah. 150. There we go. All right. So let's go back down. All right. Okay. A little bit better. Okay. So you have the sauna manuscript and the carbon dating ages of the sauna manuscript. Over here, you have a different codex. Then you have all kinds of different manuscripts that were carbon dated. Okay. So let's go to the sauna. Now, when you carbon date something, let me make sure that you understand. Do you know what carbon dating is, Bilal? Do you know how it works?
To preserve it?
No, it doesn't preserve it.
To date it?
Yeah.
Yes, there you go.
Okay, carbon dating is a process where they measure isotopes, radioactive isotopes. We talk about elements, periodic table of elements, okay? And it measures the ratio between carbon-14, that's why they call it carbon-14 dated, easy to remember, and carbon-12, C12. Carbon-14 is a unstable isotope, meaning that it will decay at a certain known rate. And we know, based on our observational science and measuring ancient documents, measuring different things from the past that are carbon in origin, meaning that they had to be alive, like paper, papyri, skins of animals. So we can date ancient manuscripts. And by doing this, what you do is you measure the half-life of the isotope. So we know that carbon-14, C14, decays into C12 on an average of 5,730 years. Half of them will. That's why they call it a half-life. So if you start off with 1,000 carbon-14 atoms, after 5,730 years, you'll have 500. After another 5,730 years, you'll have 250. Another 125 and so on and so forth until you have no carbon atoms. All right, now, the carbon-14 dating of the sauna manuscript, if you look at the different labs, they sent this out to different labs, and it came back with a wide variation of dates. And here's what I want to what I want you to be aware of. The one that was done in Arizona dated the manuscript, look at this, the sauna manuscript between 578 and 669. That's pretty recent. Yeah, that's pretty close to what you would want, right? I mean, would you agree? Would you agree that that's what you would want, the type of date that you would want?
Oh, I would love that date.
Yeah, okay. Most Muslims would love that date. And if you go to Zurich pretty much supports that also. But, I mean, look here, 578 to 669, that's a date range. So what you have to do is you have to go kind of sort of in the middle. So that would be – what would be the middle of that be? About 620 or so, that would be the most accepted range. If you go down here to this one that was done in Zurich, you could basically say the same thing. But the further you get down here, the worse it gets for Islam. Because when you get down here to this one here that was done in Germany, you have several date ranges dating clear back into the 5th century, a full 200 years before Muhammad died. You have a Quran dated before the Quran. And you have the same thing down here with the lab that was done in France. So when we start talking about the Quran being a palimpsest, we're talking about and having that lower writing there. We believe, and it looks like, using science, observational science, the type of science that most people would put their faith and trust in, that the Quran was a development over centuries, not written by Uthman or edited by Uthman in 651 as the standard narration goes, according to the Hadith.
Can you read any of those manuscripts?
Well, just show him one before we start laughing, okay?
Yeah.
Just show him. There you go. Can you? Yeah. Can you read that, Bilal? Now, this is serious, folks, so keep it cool, man. Can you read that, Bilal? That's your ancient.
I can read a couple words there.
Okay, a couple words.
For aslahu, that word.
Okay, this is from, let me find one. Okay, this is, yeah, with the diacritical marks, right, yeah. And I get that, you know, in order to translate, you know, it'd be unfair to ask you, okay, translate this without the diacritical marks, because. Right, that's.
Because
we don't know what the original one said.
Do you understand that, Bilal?
Well, like I mentioned before,
yes, sir?
The Quran that we as Muslims follow is the one that I read to you before, earlier, and I can read that one. And you guys cannot read the original gospel.
But how is that problematic, though? I mean, can you tell me how that's problematic?
Because I can read at least Arabic, which came down, which was the spoken, guaranteed spoken language of Prophet Muhammad. And you guys cannot read the one that was given to Jesus, or the gospel that was spoken back then. You guys cannot read it.
Okay. That's okay. But I'm understanding, why is that problematic in the sense that, okay, well, no. Hold on. Let me make sure you understand my question. Okay. Just give me a second here. If you yourself admitted that there's a very small percentage of Muslims that can read Arabic to begin with.
Correct.
All right. And there's also a very small – hold on. There's a very small percentage of Christians that can read the Hebrew or the Greek. So what is the difference?
Percentage? Can I mention that small? There are 400 million compared to how many million can read the old –
400. Where did you get this? Where did you get this number? 400 million. 400 million. Where did you get? Where did that number come from? What is that number?
I got it from D.L.T. Tate, who said there was about 400 Arabs, 400 million Arabs from D.L. Tate, or whoever spoke. Sorry, I don't know if it was Tate. One of them gave this information. Yes. Exactly. And then how many do we have of you guys that can read the gospel?
ABC, just because you can read Arabic doesn't mean you can understand it.
Dominic, answer the question. How many people can read the original gospel? How many people?
But why is that? I don't see it. Again, you're not telling me why that is a problem when you have – this is what – hold on. This is why – I agree, but if you have all the translators, if you have all the translators converging on the same thing, we're not looking for. This is the difference between Christians and Muslims. We do not believe that you have to have the exact words of God to understand when you, because you can say the same thing 50 different ways and people still understand it's the same thing. But when you have with the Quran to be exactly like Allah said, or there's no way to understand it. And that's a bunch of hooey. That's my point. It doesn't make any sense where you have to be able to understand Arabic in order to understand the original intent.
Because now we got to look at who does speak the language. The Hebrews, the Jews. Hold on, Dominic. The Jews speak the Hebrew language. They believe in the Old Testament. And they don't believe in the New Testament. So how does that make sense?
because the Jews don't believe Jesus was the Messiah. I mean, and the Jews don't believe that Muhammad was the prophet. So what's the problem?
ABC, I could read a Star Trek novel in Arabic, but that doesn't make it necessarily true or false. That's just because it's fan fiction. So essentially, the actual
what Christian that I know was created with not read the original Bible. Every Christian that I know.
So can you let me speak? It's the actual content. We're interested in the actual content, what it actually says. So you can read it in Arabic, but it doesn't necessarily...
You understand the context of the Bible. You can read
Surah 27, but the story, but the Quran has no perfect sentences. It doesn't finish. So with the Bible, we can go back to a certain... So we can go to someone like Isaiah or Hezekiah. We can go back and actually go back and do historical research and archaeological research to deal with these people. You can't do that with the Quran, but because the stories are purely fictional from that.
That's
true. It's almost like when I'm commenting on that Star Trek novel, it may be a purely good translation, but the actual contents of what the actual literature is a second-rate novel.
Dominic, you're breaking up. Sorry, I'm sorry for not answering. You're breaking up, brother. You need to,
okay.
You know what I mean? And make your questions a little
bit. We want Dr. Kufar Phobia. I had a couple questions that he wants because he keeps Skyping me. All you had to do is just come up on mic, dude.
Well, you know, I didn't want to be rude.
Well, everybody else is being rude. Why not? Just going to step right in here.
Original manuscripts.
I read the Arabic.
I didn't ask you about the Arabic with the dying critical marks. If you had a manuscript like the Sana or the Took copy, you would be able to read it. Why? Because Arabs have to put the dying critical marks that you guys could actually read. Well, how do I know that Allah said put a dot underneath that particular consonant or put a dot above? Who put the dot? Was that Allah?
Because when you pronounce it, that's how it is. They broke it down grammatically. They broke it down, and they put the dots according to how they pronounced it.
Oh, so it's how a human pronounced it. How do I know that's how Allah pronounced it? And does Allah have the diacritical marks in the tablets? And does Allah have the seven ahruf in his tablets?
Have you read the original?
Don't try that shit with me, buddy.
Hey, let's watch our language, please. Okay, guys, let's not. All right, I got a question. I have a question.
No, one of you has read the Bible, the original Bible.
Not one of you.
All of you
don't
believe in the translation. Now, 2,000 years later.
But we're translating the earliest documents. Now I'm going to put up on the screen. I'm going to put up a screen. Copy. Okay. Let me just do one thing, and then you can, Connie. Okay. Give me just a second. And they don't believe Muhammad was a prophet either. Okay. Let's look at this right here. This is a copy of the Sana manuscript. And can you read that for me?
You guys got to go to Jerusalem. You guys
got to
move to Jerusalem.
Okay, I'm asking a question. I have a copy of the manuscript. Okay, hold on. Just, John, hold on. So we're not going to... Bilal. On the screen. Bilal.
279 words that are not...
Arabic in Hebrew, all Aramaic,
the word Injil is not Arabic. Okay, so Bilal, let's
the
Okay, so what does this document say on the screen that I have on the screen?
English or similar words to other languages than English.
So you're not going to answer my question? You're not going to answer my question? Can you read the document that's on the screen? What does this document say? What does that say? Okay, that's one.
I see another word that says in the ass.
Okay.
I see another word that says Allah. Obviously, it's...
Okay, so you see two Allahs, and you see another word that means what? What about the rest of the, 79 words that are on the screen? And that's... Okay, and that's kind of the point that we're trying to make. If you're talking about... The point is, you keep saying, okay, you guys don't know, ancient Hebrew says you allow somebody to translate that for you, and you don't know the Greek, and you allow people to translate for you, and that's true, and we have no problem admitting that, okay? But if you go to the earliest Quran, that was a copy of the Sana that I put on the screen, and you say that you're an Arabic speaker, and I don't have any reason to doubt that at all, cannot tell me what that document says. But so what you rely on are translators. So my question is, what's the difference? But how do you know that those vowels were placed in the right places? Oh my God, really? I want to answer your question, Bilal.
Right.
Yeah, I know it's late. All right.
I think he's in Canada. He said.
Now he's in England. He says it's well, he's 7 hours ahead. All right. Canada, it's not 11 o'clock. In Canada, it's 5 o'clock. Or in Eastern Canada. Or it could be 4 o'clock. I don't think he said that. I don't think he's trust. I don't trust Shabir as a scholar, I think is what his words were. I'm willing to be wrong on that. But it's... Well, why didn't you come up and answer? Why didn't you come up and ask him the right question? Yeah, I know. And this is why we got to keep the audience down or the panel down. When we have somebody like that on, we got to keep it down to just a couple. And I don't, you know, but then I have to decide who's that going to be, and then I'll be the bad guy.
Abu Bakr put together the Quran, the guy that was supposed to put together the Quran said, you know what, it would have been easier for me to move a mountain than to...
Sure. Well, there's all kinds of things that we could have said and we could have asked, but I think we asked enough questions. I don't know. You know, you can always critique everybody. But I thought we asked enough questions. And I'm sitting there at the same time, I'm trying to keep up with some chat because all you folks in chat are just absolutely... fabulous. I love watching what you guys say in chat. It's always a lot of fun. Okay, well, that finally, yeah, sure. Why not, Connie? Sure, Connie.
You know, the same standard that he was wanting to come against the Bible, he wouldn't let us critique the same thing against the ancient Qurans.
Of course not.
That's all I wanted to say.
Right. Let me correct you guys on that.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, I just mean the word ancient meaning many, many centuries ago. Is that fair to say?
Okay.
Yes, sir. Is that fair to say that? Because that's what I mean.
Oh, okay. No. I mean, it is for sure. I didn't know if you guys knew the distinction.
Yes.
Well, when we speak about the Sana manuscript, that's one of the oldest oldest documents that are out there. And I just wanted to point out, I wanted to make sure you understood that it was that all of these corrections. When we start talking about the Sana copy, the Tope copy, the Summa Khan copy, we see corrections that are made in those to conform with a standard text that we have today. And the Sana manuscript is a classic example how you have ancient text that predates the Quran that they washed off and then rewrote over the top, or actually they wrote this way, they rewrote over the top of it to conform with what is the standard accepted Quran that is today. And I don't think he got there because
they don't tell them this. I mean, to them, it's just like when Chris was showing the right against the left, you know, in that picture. To him, he was like, "Well, the right one is the one that's in my printing, in my book," you know. But he won't recognize that the